Welcome everybody to the first afternoon session, which will be about various real-time technologies done on or with or also on Linux. And the first talk this afternoon is from Florian Goltz from Ableton, but he also used to work with Linux. And the talk is about the Ableton Link technology, which is also interesting, as we've seen yesterday, for Linux people. So without further ado, Florian Goltz, Ableton Link, a technology to synchronize music software.
Hello. So, a technology to synchronize music software. In that case, it means it's a technology that can sync multiple peers on a local area network. It's a C++ library, in fact, so it's C++ 11 style and header only, so it should be fairly easy to integrate, if you do C++ audio apps. It works indeed on Linux, macOS, Windows, iOS, and Android. And it's licensed under GPL, and if you, for some reason, I cannot imagine what that might be, need a proprietary license, you can do that too. So what I'm going to talk about, why did we build it? How do we deal with musical time? What do we do to find peers on the LAN? How we deal with time in general, because that's an issue. And I'm going to give a brief walkthrough on the API usage, and if we have time, do a demo. So, why did we do it? SMPTE, by the Society of Motion Picture and Television Engineers, was already released in 1967, and it's a digital time format that's used to synchronize like audio to movie camera frames already, so it's fairly old and still in use. The Audio Engineering Society and the European Broadcasting Union released something in 1985, I guess, that's similar and tied more to audio integration. And then MIDI timecode wraps pretty much the similar information into MIDI sysx messages. And that's also still used, but the fairly most used today is probably MIDI beat clock, which takes a different approach. It does not send time from master to peers, but sends like pulses. So there's no absolute time information in that, but you have to derive from 96 of a note pulses like your musical time as a client. Then there's Linux-specific stuff that already took like interesting approaches on synchronizing that. You know Jack probably, and Jack Transport is one of the first attempts to distribute control of whether an app is playing or not playing to multiple peers. So the Jack Transport protocol has no master, at least for the transport controls and scanning the timeline. And also, if you use NetJack, you can do that with multiple softwares running on a LAN. And in 2015, there was a paper released on OSC Sync, which is like also a technology based on OC messages, UDP messages on a local area network to synchronize, like high precision synchronized clocks for audio applications on a local network. So why did we build Link? Like, first of all, if there's many solutions to a problem, it's always a good idea to add another one. But actually, we had something we wanted to achieve. All the systems I wanted to, I showed before, have like some master client system. So there's a master that sends out a clock and somehow clients or slaves are controlled by that system. Sometimes they're hard to configure. We wanted to basically, ideally, you would not have to do anything as a user to use the system. And we wanted it to be compatible with like a wide variety of apps, like a full-fledged DAW that has a notion of like a continuous timeline, and maybe even tempo automation should work as well as like a one-bar looper or drum computer or something like that. And the tricky part is like that together with like no master. Usually if you have like classic setup, the master sends the clock. That's the full-fledged DAW that slaves like the less capable apps. And we did not want that for some reasons. So what we did first was we looked for a representation of time that would fit that. And most formats, as I said before, have like this description of absolute time somehow on the timeline that you're a slave to. We thought beats were better because beat is like actually a unit that scales to lots of different applications. So a full-fledged DAW usually has a notion of beats, but a four-bar looper does as well, and you can like easily convert between those and stuff like that. And also, beats are like fundamental for perception. Like, if it's like two sounds are like 1 second off, it's hard to tell what the result would be. If two sounds are like a beat off, you at least have an idea what that means musically, right? So beats are a thing to do. So basically what we took as our general approach to describe time in Link is have beats as a function of time. And time here is, let's assume for now there's like a wall clock every peer can look at, and we just know precisely like where we are, and like with nanoseconds or microseconds resolution, every peer has the same time information for now. We get into details later. So, a linear function, beats over time looks like that. And if almost like I could have, yeah. The slope of that is the tempo, like beats per minute. That's easy. And that's how we represent beats. And like we just have static snapshots of this function. And like, what is it if you wanted to change tempo? Then we just instantiate a new description of this beats over time function. So just imagine I would want to change time tempo at that where those lines cross. I transit from like this one description of musical time to another one at that wall clock time, and that's how we express tempo changes. And so, summary, the fundamental representation of musical time in Link is this tuple of values, and this is a state. So this is not a signal that gets sent on the wire all the time, but as soon as every peer knows the state, it can just look at the wall clock and then derive from the wall clock time where in the beat timeline it should be. So it's not, in the traditional sense, like sending a clock signal, but sharing a state from which you can derive the information on musical time. So then I said it's working on the local area network, so how do we do discovery? So when a peer initializes, like when you initialize the Link library, a peer generates a unique ID, just a random hash, and a peer starts a session. So a session also has a unique name, and a timeline within that session starts playing. So a session has a timeline that is always playing. It starts at beat zero, and is always the time is always increasing. So there's no notion of transport state in the timeline. The timeline is on, and then later we figure out how to align that to that. And when the peer is connected to a LAN, whenever it finds a Wi-Fi interface, it sends out its name, session ID, and this timeline using UDP multicast messages, like regularly at a 20 hertz rate. So basically, we just push that information that what we think is the correct time as a peer to the network continuously. Multicast. So only on the local area network. So let's just go through what happens when two peers are on a LAN. So first, a peer initializes with a session ID and a timeline. And then another peer, peer B, initializes with also a name and an ID and a different timeline, just a little bit later in time. And as soon as like they enable Wi-Fi, first nothing happens, but they start out sending out the multicast messages. And then when the heartbeat arrives, with the other piece, we have a simple rule. Always the oldest session is joined. So we just assume this, the thing that exists longer is making music, so we don't want to interrupt that, but rather join it. So in this case, because peer B was initialized after peer A, it adopts the session and the timeline. And then the same thing happens when, in this example, PA changes the timeline tempo, so it introduces a new tuple of timeline values, it will start sending out dead with a heartbeat. And then we have another rule, always adopt the newest timeline of this oldest session. And that's just how that shared state is introduced. And by those two very simple rules, like we establish that shared state that you have done locally and can do your calculations on. And that also, like when AP leaves, that state is still maintained in the session, right? On the network. So as long as there is a peer that has the state, it's maintained. And it's not dependent on the master that originally founded that session to be around anymore, which is neat. So summary on all of that. A peer generates a unique ID. It founds a session and then just can play with that already. All of that information is shared on the network. And then we have those two simple rules that result in having a shared state on a network. There's another nice effect of that simple approach. So I said I always send out my state on all the interfaces that are network interfaces that are available. So we just regularly scan for network interfaces and then establish a multicast heartbeat on that as well. So in that case, PAB is in two LANs. So let's say a laptop that has an Ethernet connection and a Wi-Fi connection. And then when PAA creates a new timeline in a session, PAB will adopt it and send it out with the multicast heartbeat as well, and then it will bring that to the other network. So a link peer can act as a relay between different local area networks. So I said before we look at the wall clock time. Unfortunately, that's not really true. We know there's no such thing as a accurate source of time that's shared between different computers. There's many protocols, but few of them are accurate enough that we can really deal with them in audio. What we have are simple system calls. Like on Linux, you can do clock get time. Windows does mach absolute time. Mac is mach absolute time, and query performance context is on Windows. Like what we want to have here is information with no jitter, basically, and super accurate, which is not the case for those. Like query performance counter is all of those are tied to the CPU clock speed, and there's a history of query performance counter where it would just randomly like jump a second back when the CPU clock speed changed. Unfortunately, it's gotten way better, but also that's the only thing we have. So we have to, like, there's a bunch of example applications in Linkart where we have to filter for those times in the audio callback to smoothen them out to get like more information that we can use. And then what we do is a simple ping pong measurement to determine the relation between the individual peers' clocks on a local area network. So how does that work? It's fairly easy. Like, as peer A, that's one on the bottom, sends out a ping with a timestamp. Peer B sends a pong back, adds its timestamp, and then when the pong is received by peer A again, we can do this like approximation that somehow the middle of time A1 and time A2 represents time B. And if we do that just a bunch of times and filter it, like low-pass filter, we use a Kalman filter for that. That's what a measurement looks like. We measure like with bursts of ping pong messages every minute or so, and then filter that. And then you see like we can get like a linear function from one peer's host time to the other peer's host time that we have to like remeasure all the time to adapt for clock drifts and stuff like that is happening. So originally when a session is founded, it's founded by that one peer, and the time is tied to that peer's host time clock. And then we have like referred to this as global host time or ghost time. It's abbreviated in the code. It's the time that, or that's the time that is the session time that's maintained with the session. And then we do something fairly simple. When answering a pong message, you do not answer with your local understanding of time, but you answer with your understanding of the time of the session you're in. So for the founding peer, that would be its local host clock time, but before joining a session, you do a measurement against this peer's clock, and then you can you have this transformation of what is session time in my time, and back and forth, and so we do that same measurement, but we do not derive the other peer's host time, but the global host time from that. And this has what this results in with is that we have this transformation from I can look at my local clock and then I have this simple function, I can map my time information into something that's understood by the entire session, I can do the reverse transformation, and I can also maintain that information when the original peer that is founded, the session is not around anymore, I can just measure against any other peer. So again, when we found the session, the clock is tied to a master or a founder, but the founder doesn't have to be around anymore to maintain the clock information in the network. So also, this is the way how we got rid of that master-client approach. So, and that's basically Link. You have a shared state, which consists of this timeline and this transformation of the global host time from to your clock, and from with that information, you can basically do anything you want. Or we wanted to achieve, at least. I don't know if you can do anything you want. So we have beat time and tempo synchronized. You can derive phase and stuff like that for different kinds of hosts. We don't have a master. We really don't have a master. There's also no secret master behind the scenes. There's none. There's no hierarchy. So any peer can suggest a new timeline to the session. And if it's the newest timeline of the session, it will be adopted by the other peer. That's the simple rule. And we have this automatic discovery on the local area network that makes it pretty easy. And yeah, as the master doesn't have to stick around, peers can join and leave at any time. They will adopt timelines, and there's no interruption. So the jam goes on as long as someone makes music. That's all behind the scenes. Now let's look at how we use that thing actually. We also had a couple of design requirements there. So basically, we wanted to make it, if possible, as easy for adopters of the API to use it. So here it is, that there's no change in behavior of the API when it's connected to the network or not. You will be presented with a monotonically increasing timeline that is not really behaving differently when peers connect or disconnect, or when you enable Wi-Fi or not, or what. It's just like the API. You can use it offline or not. We have a transactional API, so you can capture a state, operate on that state, and commit it back, which then will eventually result in the state being shared on the network and maybe later adopted. And you can do that from the audio thread in a lock-free manner, or you can do it from application, like thread-safe, but locking from other threads. And there's two more like approaches for the API that are important. One is what to use as a reference time on the API. Like, we have this timeline that we also present on the API that has this transformation from beats to local time. So what to use as a local time? We have the whatever host clocks that you maybe have to filter. And then the reference time the API asks for, as it does not know of your audio driver's latency or anything, is give it the time that the audio comes out of the speaker, that it's perceived. So that's what we actually want to synchronize, because that's important to the music maker. And the other thing that the API has is like this quantum alignment. So you as an API user, or you can expose that to the user of your software as well, can describe a grid that you are interested in synchronizing. So typically, people just use a quantum of 4, which is like a 4-4 beat, and that's what most people use. But you can do basically pass in any floating point number, and what this would result in is like you can do polyrhythmic stuff on the network with Link. So just like this is like downbeats with different quanta on timelines. The one on the top has like just a four, every fourth beat, like that's what you typically have. You can have twice as much, and then like a downbeat on the eighth quantum timeline will match to every second downbeat on the other timeline. And then you can have like, if you have a 3-4 beat, for example, only every 12th beat will align with the 4-4 bar. So you have, yeah, this notion of polyrhythm in there. And yeah, how is the API actually used? I hope you can read it. Let's just go through an example what your audio engine or parts of your audio engine would look like. So you just initialize an object, give it the default tempo or the tempo you're currently at. You can register a bunch of callbacks, for example, a tempo callback. Then Link will tell you when the tempo changed. There's also stuff like you can register for callbacks on the number of peers and stuff like that. The tempo is something interesting. This is like the tempo that you actually show to the user that you want to like for your UI. I show you how to deal with real tempo that compensates for clock drift and kind of that stuff like that on the next slide. And then at some point, you will have to enable Link, which will make it scan for network interfaces, and if it found some, send out its message. And then that's a audio callback, so I go through it bit by bit. First of all, you capture Link's state, so as you're in the audio callback, you capture the lock-free version of the state. And then, as I said before, we use the time that the sound is heard as a reference, so you somehow have to know the latency of your audio system. Like you will typically get a timestamp with your audio callback. Sometimes you will have to directly call into those timer functions that I introduced before, but at that point would be the right time to somehow estimate when the sound that you're about to generate is actually heard. And then, if you know what time at buffer begin is, we also can derive the time at buffer end for that, like just by, for example, a sample rate you're at and the number of samples. That's easy math. Probably your buffer does not have a dot duration function. And then what we can do is a function on the like operate on the session state to, in this, for example, if I want to start transport, I can use a function that is called request beat at time. So as I said before, the timeline is always running and always monotonically increasing, but if you wanted to, you can reset it to somewhere. Like you're not running, the timeline is running, but your audio engine is not. Now I want to start at beat zero. You can ask Link to reset the timeline to beat zero. And what it will then do, align it to whatever matches best to your quantum. So if you want to start at beat zero, it will, and have a quantum of four, it will reset your timeline to somewhere between zero and negative four. So you'll have to wait until you actually reach that downbeat. So and then from then on, we will manage the offset for you. So then you don't have to request that beat anymore. And if you're not connected, it will just allow you to play from beat zero, but if you are connected to other peers, it will tell you how to start playing without interrupting others. And then if I want to change tempo, I can just, that session state has the timeline, so I can just set the tempo for the time I want to change the tempo at, and it will, behind the scenes, generate this new linear timeline function. I can commit the state back to Link, and it will start distributing that on network. And as I said before, like we have this notion of mapping beats to time. So what we do here is you actually calculate the beat range of your buffer. Like in the beginning, we calculate the time range of the buffer. So now I want to find out which range of beats do I actually want to reproduce audio for. And there, like the session state does just this simple linear timeline math. And I can ask it for the beat time at buffer begin, the same for the beat time at buffer end, and then render my audio. That's sort of pretty much everything you have to do, ideally. Later. So, because it's demo time now. So, sorry, I can assure you this all runs on Linux. I formally apologize for using a Mac. I don't have a Linux laptop. So, this is a simple metronome app that comes with the Link repository. It's a QML app. And as you see, the timeline is already running. I'm not connected to any peer now, so I can just, I don't hear anything. Do we know why I don't have sound? Metronome. So, I can, as I'm not connected, I can immediately start and stop and change tempo. Now I'll start another app. The app is going to be playing at a lower tempo. And I'll first start it, and then I will enable Link, and it should adapt to the older timeline and adapt to the older session and adapt its timeline as well. So I'll just play. And then I enable Link. And they're in sync because they then did the ping pong measurement, adapted to the proper session. And I can change tempo from any of those. There's also this feature here, which is another feature that we introduced earlier this year, which is start stop sync, which allows you to share transport controls or user intents to start or stop transport between different peers. So I can do that. Control transport of both apps from one app. And then just to have an example of how the polyrhythmic stuff works, so ever so often a downbeat will match up. And so there's a bunch of other apps that implement Link as well. So we have Pure Data, for example. And I prepared something. VCV Rex has a plugin. Works just as well. I can still change tempo. And there's a Super Collider Eugen that supports Link as well. Oh no, sorry. Okay, and I can change tempo from any app. So set tempo, set it back to 120. It just works. I can just remove the metronome apps because the master can leave. And then I can, for example, because it's Super Collider, connect it to the position of the mouse slider. Yeah, that's it for the demo. You can find the code on GitHub, and there's more documentation on the concepts and the API on GitHub pages. Thank you.
Florian, thanks a lot for the interesting talk on an exciting new piece of technology, and I'm sure there are some questions. So who has the microphone? Philippe?
Hi, thanks for the nice talk. Yes, I have a question. When you described how the different hosts on the network agreed on what you said, ghost time, so each host pings the other and measures the total time of the trip back and forth, isn't this exactly what a network time protocol does, so NTP? And can you share, if you have considered to simply use NTP and why you haven't?
So it's pretty similar to what NTP does. I think NTP has some special requirements on like clock accuracies and basically it also requires a master. So the protocol itself defines that you connect it to a clock master that then derives the original clock, and we want to get rid of that. Also, what you said before, we don't measure against every peer, as we have this like notion of the ghost time, we only have to measure against one peer, so this scales traffic well.
Yeah, hi. So what's so bad about a master? If I compare it with the if the master is the Jack server for in the in my usual case, then it's there already. So what's the deal with the master?
I don't think there's necessarily, if you're fine with having that, that's cool. But I think what we had in mind was like this scenario of a band where you somehow you play together, but there's not necessarily a boss or a conductor that controls anything, and it has this freedom of I come in, I open my laptop, and I join you. Like it's, I think just this getting rid of this hierarchy has a lot of like just social benefits. If you're fine with setting everything like that up, that's cool, and it doesn't replace every use case that there is today, but I think it's a nice alternative.
So the master is really a pain if it's if you're playing live, right?
Can be.
Can be, right. So there was Robin over there. By the way, good morning, Robin.
Good morning. Is there an alternative implementation of the API, like plain C or documentation, how to write one?
I mean, there's no alternative API. We have a C, it runs on iOS, and for that we have a C wrapper, so there's a C API for iOS, but there's no documentation.
I have another question, and then over there. Do we have a bridge to Jack? So, to Jack yet? Yeah, you wrote one. Ah, great, Louis. Always, it's something with Q, Q. Link Jack, something like that. Okay, great. So,
can you have several sessions on the same local area network?
No, you can't. We thought about adding that, but we choose not to because of the ease of use. Because then you would have to again like manage session names or passwords or whatever, and we thought it's the good enough use case is manage security with your Wi-Fi. So if you want to use a link session or not a Wi-Fi, a cabled network would work as well, but that's the boundary, basically.
Okay, so if you had like an event like this and you had several people wanted to work on several projects on the same local network, they couldn't. You would have to have several independent physical network.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or we have virtual networks, but yeah.
Okay, Florian, thanks again. I think we have to confine other questions to the famous hallway track.